Appreciate your presence and the opportunity to come and speak to you this evening of things concerning the kingdom of God and preach and teach our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead, third day according to the Scripture. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Christ, the only begotten beloved Son of the living God. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of God's program of unity. It says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. The mystery of the Gospels and the teaching of the Apostle Paul speaks of the revelation that is made known, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the fact that the Gentiles, the nations, and Israel could be both one in one body. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, speaks of the Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. The circumcision and the uncircumcision, the Jews and the Gentiles, could be united, be in one body, in one church. Ephesians chapter 1, there verse 22 and 23 says, He that is Christ put all things in subjection under His feet, or God put all things in subjection under Christ's feet, and gave Him that is Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is in His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Of course, Jesus prayed in John 17, there about how His disciples could be one. John 17, 11 and John 17, 21 through 23. That Jesus would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to guide the apostles and prophets into all truth. And He would be a comforter to them, as Jesus had been a comforter to them. John chapter 17 and verse 11, I am no more in the world, yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Christ and the Father were united. God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. They sent the holy apostles and prophets. And God wanted us to be one in their word with God. Verse 21 through 23, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. There is one mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, there verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and there verse 5. For there is one God, and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Christ came, lived in this world without sin. The man Christ is the one mediator, the one middleman, the one go-between between God and man. Jesus suffered. He understands what it is to live in the flesh, and He mediates for us as our high priest at the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, there, verse 24. Jesus, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. So Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament, the new covenant under which we live, the gospel of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the perfect law of liberty, the New Testament, by which we are sanctified and we will be judged by when the books are opened in the judgment day. As Moses was the mediator of the first covenant, Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. It's a better covenant. built on better promises. We have one master, that is Christ. There is one is good, that is God. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 32. There's one master, that's Christ. Matthew 23, verse 8 and 9. And the disciples are to be one in God and in Christ, as God is one. There is one God, and as the New Testament speaks of the one God many times, it's talking about the one God and Father. Of course, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ Himself is God, as is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is lied to, God is lied to, according to the book of Acts. Christ was once offered. He suffered once. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, there verse 27. Christ was offered once. One sacrifice, once for all time. Hebrews chapter 7, there verse 27. Who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people? This was the system under the law of Moses. Because this he did, that is Christ did, once for all when he offered up himself. So Jesus made one sacrifice, the sacrifice upon the cross, offered up himself once for all. Hebrews chapter 10, there verse 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I'm looking at the idea of things, in, especially in the New Testament scriptures, that the scriptures say there's just one of. We've looked at the seven ones of Ephesians chapter 4. There are others. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says the two will become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So we're to be one spirit. We're to be joined to Christ. To be one spirit with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, there verse 4. 'Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one.' So there is one God. Verse 6, 'But yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we exist through Him.' So there's one God and Father, and there's one Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. 'Since there is one bread, and we are many, and we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread.' So we're to be one body, to all partake of the one bread. This is a reference to the Lord's Supper, the cup of blessing, and the bread which we break, sharing in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. 'For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit.' So here in this passage there's There's one body. There's one spirit. We're baptized into one body. Again in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Now there are many members, but one body. This figure, we are to hold fast the head, according to Colossians. Jesus is the head of the body. We are members of the body. And we're to hold fast to the head. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Jesus is the one who died for us. We're baptized in the name of Christ. Christ was crucified for us. He is the seed. Remember, the promise was made to Abraham that he would be a great nation. He was made a land promise, and he was made a seed promise. And some have believed that the seed promise was the entire Jewish nation, but that's not true according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, for the seed is one, and that one is Christ. Now the promise was spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say "and to seeds," plural. He said seeds, singular, as referring to, he does not say "as to seeds," as referring to many, but rather to one, and your seed, that is Christ. Again, verse 20, now a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. So Jesus is the mediator between man and God. God is one, and we are the ones who need to be reconciled to God, made friends again with God. We are the ones who need a mediator. Ephesians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, beginning. Therefore remember that you, the Gentiles in the flesh, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier, or the middle wall of partition, the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that is, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. He might reconcile them both, that is, Jew and Gentile, circumcision and uncircumcision, both into one body to God through the cross, having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. And through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. And this verse, verse 18, gives us all three persons of the Godhead. Through him, that is through Christ, we both, circumcision, uncircumcision, Jews and Gentiles, we both have our access in one spirit, there's the Holy Spirit, to the Father. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Another verse like that is in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And 8. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth, for there are three that bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. A few later manuscripts read, and looking at the column references, that's what it's in the text in the King James Version. In heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, there verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, that I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Here, makes you think back of Jesus' prayer that all the disciples might be one in Christ and in God the Father. Here, the disciples are at Philippi, by Paul, are admonished to stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Chapter 2, verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. We're to have the same accord, the same mind, same spirit, to be united in the one body. And we do that by holding fast as members to the head. Hold fast the head. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Jews, Gentiles, circumcision, uncircumcision, bond and free, male, female, we're all to be in one body. Verse 19. Colossians chapter 3. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 19. You back up verse 18, he talks about some false worship that was going on. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflating without cause by his fleshly mind. Here he's talking about some false practices that were going on. Why were these false practices not going on? Verse 19, not holding fast to the head. From whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. That's the problem. All the religious error that goes on in the world is from not holding fast the head. Christ is the head of the church. We are members of his body. To put it another way, John chapter 10, verse 16. John chapter 10, there verse 16. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice. They shall become one flock with one shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. They follow him. There's one flock. There's one shepherd. That's the problem. People don't know the master's voice. They don't follow the shepherd. So they stray from the flock. We're members of the body. We have to hold fast to the head. Jesus speaks of the vine and the branches. And he says, except you abide in me, you can do nothing. We have to abide in the vine to be a branch. Speaks of it as a temple, as a building. And we're stones in this glorious temple. But it's built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and says Christ is the foundation. Christ is the chief cornerstone. So if we want to be in this temple, this building of God, we have to stay on the foundation where the cornerstone is, Christ and the apostles. Hold fast the head and the body. Be a branch in the vine. If we're going to be in the flock, we'll have to listen to the shepherd. His voice. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. There verse 19. Hebrews, James. James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. The devils also believe and shudder. There's one God. You remember when Jesus cast out demons, they knew who he was. Are you come to punish us before the time? They knew that he was the Holy One of God. Devils believe in one God. It's not whether you believe in God. Do you believe God? Do you believe what God says? That's the issue. The demons, the devils, believe in God, know who God is, but at some point, they didn't believe God. There's one lawgiver. James chapter 4, verse 12. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Christ is the lawgiver. We're under law to Christ. The perfect law of liberty. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The gospel of Christ. The second will by which we are sanctified. We will answer to the gospel of Christ. When the books are opened, the New Testament is the book that we will be judged by. There's one lawgiver and judge. There's one God. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 30. Or verse 29. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, the Gentiles also. If indeed God is one, and he will justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. So there's one God. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Christ Jesus, abound to the many. So Jesus Christ made the sacrifice once for all. He is the one who is our Savior, who died for us, that we might be in the one body. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Romans chapter 15, there verse 5 and 6. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice, one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's program of unity, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there's one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We need to hold fast the head. To illustrate it another way, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The marriage relationship. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am zealous for you with a godly jealousy. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that is Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin. We are married to Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Christ is the one husband. One husband. Ephesians chapter 5, of course, illustrates it. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse. Well, look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. He's the Savior of the body, Savior of the church. The church is subject to Christ. Verse 31 and 32. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. He'll present the church to himself as a bride in all her glory, holy and blameless, beloved, nourished and cherished. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Well, I wanted to look at the marriage relationship one more time. Romans chapter 7, there verse 4. Romans chapter 7, there's verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, just as you were also made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to another. So you were dead to the law of Moses, especially if you were ever in it as a Jew. That you might join to another, that is, joined to Christ, married to Christ. To him who was raised from the dead, that's Jesus, that we might bear fruit for God. So the Old Testament, the law of Moses, is nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. Second Corinthians chapter 3, the description is made of the Old Testament written on stones. It's done away, abolished. It was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. So we're dead to the law of Moses, that we might be married to another, that is, to Christ. He's the one husband. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. He's talking about these people who have been deceived and led astray by receiving another Jesus, a different gospel, a different spirit. There's one spirit, there's one gospel, and there's just one Jesus. Galatians chapter 1 points out the same thing, that there is just one gospel. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him, that is Christ, or God, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not really another, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort or pervert the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you have received, to that which you received, let him be anathema or cursed. So there's only one Jesus, one Spirit, one gospel. If you distort it, pervert it, preach another gospel, you're accursed. And that's the problem. People want to be members of Christ, but they're not holding the head. They're not being branches in the vine. They're not being a stone in the building where Jesus is the foundation and the cornerstone. They're not being the sheep of the flock. They're not holding fast the head. We're to have the mind of Christ. We can have that through the teaching of the Holy Spirit and the understanding of the New Testament scriptures. When the books are open, that's what we'll be judged by. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, Lord, Savior, the only begotten, beloved Son of the living God, God's holy child, you're willing to repent of sins, that is, turn away from sins, turn from them, be converted, repent and be baptized, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, you can have a remission of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. A relationship with God, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to be your guide, to be your comforter, to guide you into all truth. You can be in the one body. He's the Savior of the body. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, be baptized into Christ, you can have a forgiveness of sins, be baptized into the one body. If you're an erring child of God, you can believe God, repent of your sins, confess your sins. We'll pray to God with you. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and you can be cleansed again. Obey the gospel as we stand and sing the song for your encouragement.